The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Christy Matthews, and today I'm recording without Michelle, as you can tell since you usually hear her do the intro. I think my palms just got a little bit sweaty and my mouth got a little clammy doing that on my own. I so rarely do the intro, as you know. So welcome. Thank you for listening. We're happy to be here. I do have a guest today. It's not just going to be me talking for the next 45 to 60 minutes. And the topic and our episode today is about finding the perfect planner for you. You have a lot of planners to choose from if you're considering a wedding planner and want to dive into what makes people a good fit. We've talked a lot on the podcast about how Michelle and I, when we've talked to other professionals, we do feel like you need to like, respect, trust your planner and also your photographer. And that's another topic. But whereas you may hire your cake baker or your lighting professional because you like the product, they were available, you like the price, boom, 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 everything lines up, that's who you need. You don't have to necessarily want to be friends with or go out with or connect with on a personal level some of those professionals. We hope you trust all your vendors and that you feel good about them. But the relationship between client and planner is very important. And so we wanted to bring on another wedding planner to talk about this. And also I want to note that this entire topic was inspired by a listener email that we got several weeks ago. Thank you, Abby, for sending that to us, and we will play that email. She recorded it on our voicemail because I wanted you to hear her voice. But basically Abby reached out to say she's been having a hard time finding a planner that fits her and her partner's fits the bill, not just fits like their vision of what they want, but fits personality wise. And she was feeling kind of hopeless and the email made me sad. And I responded to her at the time. But I reached out to my friend, Meredith Commender as well. Welcome, Meredith.
Hi, thank you.
And we put together this whole episode about that. So we're going to play that at the, like in the middle of this episode so that we can talk about it at the end. But for now, Meredith Commender, my friend from Dallas, Texas, where we met in the industry there. She is the owner and head planner, main lady in charge at Significant Events of Texas. And I'm going to read your bio really quick, and then we will, you'll tell us all about yourself. For the past 12 years, Meredith Commender, and she has a CSEP, and that's Certified Special Events Professional. That's different than the certification that Michelle and I have. She is the owner and lead event coordinator and designer at Significant Events of Texas, an event coordination firm based in Dallas, producing an average of 50 events each year, including weddings, social events, corporate events, and charitable events. And she is a regular speaker for various event industry organizations in North America, as well as at event industry conferences. So welcome, Meredith. And I just want to really quickly say, 50 events a year, when you look at how many weekends there are in a year, that's a ton. But also several of these events are multi-day events on site, right? On the actual event is more than one day.
Some of them are. Yeah, some of our corporate events are, and some of our South Asian events are. But I also, I mean, that's the total event load for the company. And I do have four other planners that are on my team. They're all, they do a smaller amount of events. I do most of them. So it isn't just me.
Yes, but still, I mean, Michelle and I still talk about how, I mean, I do far less weddings than you do at my the most that I did in a year was 13 weddings in a year. And that's all varying degrees of planning, whether it's day of, month of, or full planning. But the idea of having a wedding for 4, 5, 6 weekends in a row, which is you've done, yes, right? Normal for you.
That's pretty normal. I mean, we, during spring and fall, which are our busiest times of the year, it's not uncommon for us to have 8 to 12 weeks in a row. It is different levels of planning. Yes, we do full service, partial planning, and day of coordination. I personally mostly do full service and partial, and then my other planners do more of our day ofs. It usually is that during spring and fall, there's a lot. Like the year, if we do, as far as weddings go, the weddings are majority of the business, probably 35 or so weddings a year. And they're kind of stacked most of all here in Dallas because of our weather. We tend to do spring and fall are really busy, and then summer and winter are slower. So if we do, 35 weddings in a year, there's a good chance that 12 of them are in the spring and 12 of them are in the fall. And then, the remainder are kind of sprinkled through the winter and the summer. So it definitely, The spring and the fall, it's go, go, go for many weeks at a time. And I don't know, it's hard, but I'm just kind of used to it at this point. It's been this way since 2012. It's been 35 to 50 events a year since then. So I'm just used to it now. doesn't make me any less tired, but
that makes sense. I mean, I wouldn't be able to, the idea of 7 weekends in a row at one point when I did the 13 weddings in a year, which is not that many, 5 of them were Saturdays in September. Mm-hmm. And I remember like finishing one and just being like, okay, like the emergency kit like mm-hmm. stays in my car. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I'm going to need more safety pins or whatever to replenish. And then moving on to the next one and moving on to the next one. But the idea of 12 or, even 8, that just is like, oh my God. But you creeped into that. It wasn't right at the beginning. So tell us about how you... My computer is trying to do an automatic update right now. Perfect timing.
Wonderful.
Tell us how you got your origin story. How did you become significant events of Texas?
So this definitely was not my first career. It was nothing I had been hoping for my whole life. I have a bachelor's degree in English and political science. I have a master's in educational administration because I used to be a high school English teacher. And I did that for the first 7 years of my life, from ages 22 to 29. And I had no aspirations to be an event planner. I had done some events in college. I worked for the admissions office of my university and was involved with freshman orientation. I ran an intramural sports team for 4 years in college and did tournaments. But nothing was equating in my head to be an event planner. I did have a goal that whenever I had children someday, that I would be able to do something from home, that I could be home with them when they were little. That was the point of everything. And I didn't really know what that would be. I just knew that I wanted to work in some way. And then I planned my own wedding in 2004, which it's a very cliche thing for people to plan their own wedding and like become a planner. And most planners like make fun of people who do that. When I did that, I liked it a lot. I thought I liked this process. I enjoyed it. Really fit my personality. It's very like left, right brain balance being a planner. And designing as well. So I really enjoyed it. And I thought, maybe this is the thing that I can do when I have kids.
And you were successful. You felt like this mm-hmm. matches with what I'm good at.
Right. Yes. It was like a lot of my skill set I felt was being utilized really well in my event planning process, my wedding planning process for my own wedding. So I thought in my back of my head, maybe this is the thing I could do. Well, my husband was in the Army at the time. So we were moving around, was not an ideal time for that. And when we moved back to Dallas, seemed like a good time to start thinking about starting a family. And that's when I started the business. I was still teaching at the time. I was definitely scared to just go full time with this. And I really never thought it would be a career. I thought this will be a part-time thing. I will just do a few events a year. And, when my kids are back in school, I'll go back to being a teacher. That's what I thought would happen. I never thought this would be anything that could sustain as a career full time. Well, I went full time with it a few months before my son was born. I had only done probably 5 events at that point. My husband's job was going really well at the time. He was a corporate recruiter and still is. And about 3 months after I went full time, had my son, then the recession happened. This was 2008. And my husband, he kept his job, but he started making like a whole lot less because he was on 100% commission job too, and nobody was hiring anymore. So it really cut into our finances. It was super stressful. And that's when I had to hustle. This was supposed to just be a side thing, but we needed me to be booking a lot of events. So I had really mostly done corporate events before that. And I thought that might be my niche of the market, but then corporate events stopped happening during the recession. Nobody was doing events, but people were still getting married. And that's really when I got into weddings, was during that time. And my, you know, wedding budgets were being cut because a lot of dads were like losing their retirement funds and pensions during that time. But I was new and I was inexpensive. So I kind of grew during the recession and the ball just started rolling and I just never really stopped it. So it definitely, after about 4 or 5 years, it was really clear that this would for sure be a very sustainable career. And I was making more than I was making as a teacher. And I loved it, you know, and I also really thought I'd love being a stay-at-home mom, and I adore my kids, but I didn't really love being a stay-at-home mom.
It was just
really nice. I think stay-at-home moms are amazing, but it was really nice for me to have something else on the side. You know, it was nice for me to have something that I could do and that was not just, you know, changing diapers and stuff all day. So, it went full-time with that, and it's just been going strong ever since. I started adding other planners around 2011. All my other planners are part-time. I'm the only full-time person. That's pretty much how it started. And now it's just grown and grown. And I'm very proud of it. It's a lot of hard work for sure. And those early years were really tough. But I'm very proud of what it is today.
Yeah, it's. I think you have a reputation in Dallas, or if I can be so bold, when I was there, as somebody who is still, you know, not resting on her laurels or just like letting the machine go, like is still a hustler and is saying yes, which is why I called you and wanted you on for this topic, saying yes to weddings all over the spectrum. Saying yes, meaning when they call you and they ask you if you're available and then you ask a few questions, it seems like many times it's like, yeah, sure, I'm available and here's my pricing and I'll send you a contract. Mm-hmm. Like it's pretty cut and dry as a business model rather than like some planners that I know that we both know that only do a certain type of wedding, whether it's a certain type of budget, a certain type of culture, a certain type of family, and their social media and their Instagram and their galleries represent that. Mm-hmm. And it might be that it's not very diverse or that every of the weddings sort of looks the same because that's why people hire them because, oh, if you want, you know, flowers from the ceiling and this kind of lounge furniture and velvet linens and crystals on your chandeliers, there's two planners in Dallas who that's all they do. I'm not that kind of planner that only does a certain type.
Right.
And neither are you. No. And I know that like significant events as a company is representing and the priorities are that it seems to me just watching you, you know, on in the industry, it seems to me that the priority is we're a business, businesses make money. We're going to do the best we can for our clients, but it's not our aesthetic or our personality that is in your weddings. Mm-hmm. So give us a little bit here, like to animate what I'm saying, like you've done them. You've done everything.
Oh, sure. I mean, I appreciate that. First of all, thank you. And it makes me happy to hear that that's the view of me. And I think there's
not the only view. People say a lot of stuff behind your back.
I'm sure that's true. Also, actually, I was about to say that is that really, I think the view overall is that perspective that you just gave, but there's definitely people that think it's very strange that we are very open into all different types of weddings and that we have, you know, our pricing, we do flat rate pricing. I don't do percentage pricing. A lot of people do percentage pricing and I totally get it. But I have found that this works best for us.
I do as well.
Yeah. And I really kind of feel strongly about that, but that's another conversation. But I don't know. I've never been one that's like, oh, there's this ideal client that I'm looking for. I mean, I think there's a few factors that lead into that. One, I tend to hit the average budget and the average client for DFW. So that budget is different everywhere. Average wedding in Dallas these days is probably somewhere about $45,000 to $75,000, I would say average. And we tend, the majority of our clients are in that average budget range. That does a lot of things for you. One thing it does is that it opens you up, obviously, to the largest segment of the market. You know, think about it like a retail store. The majority of the people that you know probably do their clothes shopping. I mean, think of it before we were all doing online shopping, more at like Macy's, Target, kind of that vibe. You know, most people kind of gravitate towards that. You for sure have friends that only get stuff at Kmart, and you for sure have friends that only get stuff at Neiman's. And we hit all of those. Every year we have some lower price brides that really have tight budgets. And every year we have some luxury brides that have huge budgets. But the majority of our clients are right in the middle. And when you're right in the middle, and my pricing is also middle, kind of maybe middle upper these days, you get to expose to a variety of types of clients. I have really enjoyed that. For me, one of the things I love about this career is there's something new all the time. Never gets boring. You have lots of challenges all the time. I'm never afraid of something that I haven't experienced before. And I feel like it has been super beneficial for me. I mean, we have a huge city here. We have, so many venues. There's something like 40,000 weddings a year in DFW.
It's a diverse population.
Yeah, diverse population, diverse budgets, diverse cultures. And I think I've probably worked in like 175 different venues over time. And it gives me the ability to recommend a lot of different spaces to a client. I'd never wanted to be one of those planners that like, I only work in five venues or I only work
with the same five.
Yeah.
Vendors, it would the same
be,
team.
Yeah. I mean, I get that. And there are for
it
sure.
It would be easier.
Yeah, totally. And there are
but
for
it would be
sure,
kind of boring.
Yeah. And there are for sure vendors that I work with a ton, like way more than others. But besides even being boring to me, I just don't like to treat brides, couples, not just brides, you know, anybody getting married. I don't like to treat couples as like one size fits all, you know, because I like to really listen to what they need, really focus on like what's best for them, budget wise, style wise, personality wise. And by working with a ton of different vendors and by having worked in a lot of different venues and by working with lots of different cultures, I can give them choices, and I'm not trying to make them forced into like a style that just this florist specializes in or,
right,
you know, specialize in just these venues that I work in all the time. That's always been really important to me. It's kind of strange to me when other people don't have that viewpoint. But I mean it. One thing I say in consultations, and I 100% mean it, if you look at my website, I feel like you can see that all of the weddings look different. There's consistencies in all of them. I feel like overall our consistency is meticulous attention to detail, excellent customer service, being very knowledgeable. That's extremely important for me. Taking really great care of the events, focusing on the logistics as well as the design, but they all look different. And that's because I don't have a preconceived notion of what their event should look like. Listen to them and base it around what they want. To me, that's the right way to handle this type of job. But I definitely see other people that seem, again, a lot of the work does seem very similar. Some of it's amazingly beautiful. A lot of it is, but it does seem like a lot of repeated stuff. And their clients probably want that. You know,
yeah, that's maybe why they're hired. Let's talk about photos though on planners' websites, because the thing is that some people feel like some clients that I've had or that I've booked or not booked or, you know, friends of mine that have gotten married, it's like, oh, our photos from our wedding with this planner or this photographer are not going to end up on their website because mm-hmm. I am not a model or we had burlap runners or my partner is overweight and mm-hmm. They don't post pictures of weddings like that. It's really easy to pick the most whatever beautiful, over the top, most photogenic weddings that you do in a year and only use those photos throughout the year on your social media. Mm-hmm. And it bothers me because it, I think, would make people feel less than mm-hmm. when they're trying to find a planner and then also after the process is over. And I post pictures of every wedding I do. Mm-hmm. Partially because I don't do so many. So I'm like, I need the pic. I want pictures of everything. There wouldn't be a single wedding where I'd be like, well, I'm not going to, that mm-hmm. one, what I don't, I, you know, I didn't like that venue. I'm not going to post those pictures or whatever. I know you post every wedding that you do too. And you've talked about this before, mm-hmm. but I also think there's something to, when you said what all of your pictures are all really diverse, mm-hmm. you could see that if somebody could see that. But what they have in common, that's what they have in common is that they were well planned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can't put that in a picture. I've mm-hmm. seen pictures of weddings that I was at that were from the behind the scenes point of view, like just putting out one fire after another. Mm-hmm. It was a disaster. There were big things that happened that should not have happened. Somebody was unhappy. The mother of the bride, like mm-hmm. I've been at those weddings. I wasn't planning any of them that went off the rails like that, but I was at them as a guest or as, you know, even like my own mm-hmm. family members getting married. But then the pictures afterwards, mm-hmm. of course the pictures look beautiful. And that's also the thing about styled shoots. Of course those pictures look beautiful and you mm-hmm. put those on your website, but that's not, it's hard to tell a client why you charge what you charge when they see your pictures, they see somebody else's pictures.
Sure.
They're trying to decide between two planners. Well, the common thread with the significant events of Texas wedding is that the bride and groom, the two people getting married, the couple was very happy. Mm-hmm. Their families were happy. It ran smoothly and they were well taken care of. And that's the common thread you would want as a planner. But that's very hard to put out in pictures or even to talk about because it just is the experience itself.
It is. And that's very true. And I mean, I'll tell you, we've all been to events like that. I've had some events like that too. I mean, it's funny. I had a wedding a few years back where it was super beautiful. It was at this outdoor venue in Dallas. That's a museum and it has outdoor space. It's one of my favorite spaces. I do not like it for summer weddings because it is blazing hot here in the summer. And we did this wedding there in like June. It was 95 degrees all night long. And
it's so humid.
Oh, it was terrible. And the guests were just sweating to death and they were miserable. And I didn't want it to be outside, but that's what the bride decided. And that's totally fine. But it got in all these magazines. It cracked me up because all I could remember, I mean, the flowers were beautiful. The couple was great. Everything was beautiful. But I'm like, my main memory of the night was everyone just miserable from the heat. And of course you don't see that when it's on there. I mean, yeah. I think I will say to that point, and it's funny because it's been coming up a lot lately, we've been having more and more clients that are requesting no pictures of them to be on anything, not posted on our site, not posted on social media. And it kind of
meaning you can do elements like flowers, but yeah, not
yes, but
or,
yes, okay. But that bothers me, I have to tell you. And I tell them that because exactly for the reason that you're saying, you can't communicate how smooth the event went or how happy the client went with just pictures. Every event on our website also has a testimonial below it. So you can kind of like get that vibe from, you know, not the vibe, but like hear the words that the client said.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, sometimes when people don't want us using their photos, they like to say that to me. Well, you can still use the pictures of the flowers and the cake and I appreciate that, but what I respond is my job is so much more than just the design elements. Those pictures of the couple having a happy moment, the bride having a happy moment with her mom, the groom, you know, spending time with his family, whatever the experience might be, you know, and those moments that you craft during first dances, during dancing, those don't just happen accidentally. They happen, those smiling faces you see happen because it was a well-executed event. So to me, I would never even put an event on my website that I couldn't use the pictures of the couple because it there's so much more to this job than just the design. I don't put every event on our website, but I do put every event on social media in some form. For sure, there are still events that we do that like some element of it is just totally not great. You know, they pick their own cake person, didn't listen or something, and the
right.
cake comes out great. I'm not going to post stuff
you can't control.
Right. I'm not going to post pictures of stuff that are going to be detrimental to the view of this business. But I believe, and I talk about this when I speak, if you're going to have the mindset or the approach that you are going to post something from every wedding, then you have to post something from every wedding. Because even if it's just a couple, even if it's just dancing, even if it's just a big wide shot of the room that you can't mm-hmm. see that the couple chose all silk flowers that you don't want to show or something, there's always something you can show. And the problem is if you don't show a little bit of all of them, you're for sure hurting the feelings of those clients.
Yeah.
They feel like yours wasn't good enough. And I still post pictures from my phone. Most of my event days are iPhone pictures that I post. A lot of people don't do that and they only post professional photos. Totally get that. They are way better photos than I take myself. But I have found the clients really love seeing their photos of the wedding, like at the end of the day, like that night in their beds. Because I see them liking them at like 2-3 o'clock in the mm-hmm. morning. They can lay in bed and like look at the day and how much yeah. people liked it and were like, oh my gosh, that was so amazing. I have felt that has been a really great thing that I have never really stopped doing. But I don't care. To me, I don't care what the couple looks like. I don't care what the wedding looks like, what culture they are, if they're same sex, if they're heterosexual couple, whatever it is, there's always something wonderful that you can share. It's a wonderful job that we do. And people love to see these details. People love weddings. They just love them. And so people are always excited about all kinds of little details. So there's always something you can show.
Yeah. So let's speak to all of the listeners around mm-hmm. the world. There are hundreds of thousands of them.
good job.
Let's talk to them about if you are considering a planner, if you're looking into a planner mm-hmm. in any capacity, how we as planners take on clients. Sure, availability, mm-hmm. pricing, those are very basic things that like you wouldn't go past maybe an email if mm-hmm. your date's not available, of course. And for me, it's just me. For you, you might have a team. But what are pros and cons of Meredith? Like, why would people hire you over, not that this is going to be like a commercial for you,
sure.
but like, how do you know? I mean, we have to make sure we're a good fit mm-hmm. with the people. And sometimes you don't know, because I've said on this podcast before, it might seem in the first couple of weeks like, okay, great, we're going to move forward. And then everyone seems sane. Everyone seems normal.
People
and
don't fly the crazy flags
yeah,
immediately.
6 months later, you know, when we're halfway through, like I'm getting some personality that I didn't see
right.
at first. And it's like, whoa, okay, now I know what I'm in for. And that's fine. That happens. But why, like, how do you walk us through like what happens when somebody inquires and then past that, how you know that they're hiring you maybe over somebody else
mm-hmm.
comparatively, or when you think like, maybe I'm not a good fit and we do need to, I'm going to tell you, check out somebody else.
Sure. So there's definitely a lot of factors that go into that. Yes. I mean, obviously availability is the first step. You know, we want to make sure that we're available. I prefer it if we're not discussing pricing from the beginning, but I'm not going to not, if somebody's pushing on that point, I'm not going to not share that. Sometimes you'll meet with people because it's frustrating. Like if you go and you set up a meeting and then they were like nowhere close to being able to pay what your price was. Sometimes that frustrates me because I'll be like, look at my work. You can probably tell that it's not going to be like bargain basement pricing, you know, but, at the same time, if they ask pricing from the get-go, I will always share that. And sometimes that's not a big deal. I will say for couples that are listening, planning is typically 10 to 20% of your budget. So keep that in mind when you're choosing, because there's a lot of times I've had many, many instances where someone was interested in planning, had it in their mind that it was going to cost X and nobody's, you know, it's way below what anybody is. But then when you talk with them about it and you show them the value of the service, they're like, okay, I am willing to spend more on this. And I didn't really recognize it would cost that much. And there's so many elements of wedding planning that are that way. Like ask your average couple planning a wedding if they have any clue what lighting is going to cost. They don't even know what to ask for lighting, you know? And I think a lot
yeah.
of them.
And big websites
right.
don't help that
no,
because they're
no.
telling you like, oh, a DJ is $700. And it's
right.
like, that, where
or
is
a
that?
Wedding or a wedding cake. Like I feel like so many people still reference Father of the Bride movie from 15 years, 20 years. When did that come out? 25 years ago now, probably.
Yeah.
And they made such a huge deal of the cake being $1,200 in that movie. That's like cheap for a cake these days, right? Because it's 25 years later. Probably was still not that expensive back then. So people reference random things. But as far as hiring us and hiring me, I'll just say hiring me specifically. It's a variety of things. I try to always do a meeting in person if I can, or a phone meeting if possible. I think the thing that has set me apart from competition, one, I'm very responsive. I'm very quick to respond.
And that's super, super important. All the time it's been important, but it's never been more important than with this current generation. And all of us with, I mean, some of us, I'm 40 years old, so some Gen Xers will try to be like, oh, millennials want instant communication. I'm like, right, when was the last time you were like, your Wi-Fi was taking longer than 20 seconds to, you know, boot up and you weren't getting super annoyed by that situation? You know, we all right. expect everything to be instantaneous. So initial inquiries from us, we always respond to really quickly, like within 24 hours for sure. But honestly, usually try to respond within just a few hours if possible. That has been a huge factor, believe it or not.
Yeah, and I want people, listeners, to like be taking mental notes here. Mm-hmm. Like, these are pros and cons of who you end up picking to be your planner. If, and we've talked about responsiveness before, if you don't get an email back for 3 or 4 days from mm-hmm. two planners got back to you in that 24 hours, it might be pretty clear
yes.
who the two planners are that you should be considering out of the four then.
Absolutely.
With that, and, it's and a red flag when you is. Don't hear from vendors for many, many days.
And I mean,
it just means it's going to be like that through the whole process.
Right. And obviously, you know, for couples that are listening, think about what day you're contacting them. If you contact them on a Saturday, you're not going to hear from anybody most likely. You may not hear from anybody until Tuesday, because a lot of us take Mondays off because we work on the weekends. But every month of my business, I have met with potential clients that have told me, I contacted you and I contacted a few other planners and this planner took 5 days to respond. This person never responded at all. It blows my mind. I mean, it's been good for me because I'm mm-hmm. responsive, but I don't understand that at all. And when I'm speaking and coaching people on this around the country, I talk about that and I say, you know, once you're under contract with somebody, you can slow things down a little bit, but you know, when you're getting that business, I would venture to guess that if you are the first person to respond to an inquiry, you get the business probably 75% of the time. And I say this from the words out of the mouths of the people that have hired us. So being really quick to respond, I feel like has been really helpful. I try to respond quickly, answer whatever questions they have, and get a longer consultation schedule.
So if we jump now to like they are
meeting with us.
Yeah, right. They're meeting with you, but you have the date available. Mm-hmm. This person is making it clear that they can afford a mm-hmm. planner. So how much does that connection matter and that personality? And this, we'll get more into this when we read that email from the bride, but is there like a meeting have you ever met with a couple and been within the first 5 minutes like, oh, this is not going to work.
Yeah, definitely. I have had that experience. I mean, I do think the personality clicking with you and the planner is very important. Exactly what Christy was saying at the beginning about like, if you don't like your cake person, I mean, literally you'll never see them again after your cake consultation. You know, if you don't like your lighting people, I mean, you probably will never even ever meet them in person, you
right.
know, but planner is important. Photographer is really important. DJ band is important.
Hair and makeup,
super important. Yeah. Great example. So I think it's important with planning. I am a little bit of a chameleon in that I really feel like I can relate to most people just from like life experience and just being a teacher even helped me with that. Like having to teach so many different kids every single day and their parents that there's like always something you can connect with people. So I feel like I try to find a common ground always. That's really helpful. And people of course like that and they feel you have something in common with them. But more often than not, we talk mostly about their wedding at the consultation. And the thing I try to prove to them is that I'm very knowledgeable and very capable of taking care of this event and that I have a great vendor team I can refer. And that seems to be probably the reason that I get chosen the most. People will often say, like, you really seem to know this stuff. You're really on top of it. And when I haven't gotten hired, it's usually been based on price. And people will say even, I loved you. I thought you were great. But you know, so-and-so is less expensive. And I understand that. I mean, I don't like that to be the reason, but it's a factor sometimes. I do think the personality clicking is important. There are red flags sometimes in consultations. I will say I have not had many instances where if I see the red flag during the email process or during the phone call process, I usually try to just stave off that. And to be honest, I usually say like, we're not available or something like that anymore. Right. Once we're meeting, if they're, unless the red flag is something like, I think this person is going to absolutely treat me like garbage. If it's because the client is super picky, or the client has some really offbeat ideas they want to do, or the client is really needy because they just are totally lost in this process. I mean, you have to remember, people that don't have this attitude that are planners, it's kind of amusing to me. There are two types of people, by and large. If I was to group two types of couples that hire a wedding planner, one type of couple, one or both people in the couple are super type A and super organized, and they want somebody exactly like them to run the show for them. Awesome. Like, that's great.
And they know they want them to enjoy the day. Right. And if they don't have a planner that's just like them, then they'll micromanage. Right. They won't enjoy their day.
Yeah. And sometimes they can never let go of that. And most of the time, the majority of my super type A clients, by the time the wedding rolls around, 100% faith in me. They believe we're going to run it well. They're not nervous. But there are type A clients that just cannot let go of the control even on the wedding day. And that can be really exhausting. But they still can't deny that we're working really hard and doing our very best. So there's always that to fall back on. Then your second group of clients are people that couldn't organize a sock drawer. And I mean, I'm not slamming on them. That's just not everybody's strong suit in life, especially like super creative people. You know, super creative people, like, they're great at creativity, but they're not great at the organization.
They come to the table right. with a lot of ideas.
Yeah, and they're all over the place.
They need somebody to put it all together.
Right. And they're like, I know if I rely on this myself, it's never going to happen. Like, I appreciate people that have that self-awareness, you know. Both of those types of clients, they don't frustrate me. You know, your type A clients can be really overbearing at times, but I get it. It's a ton of money. This is a ton of money they are spending. Mm-hmm. Whether your budget is $5,000 or $50,000 or $500,000, it is a fortune to you. And yeah. you want to make sure this money is well spent, because at the end of the day, none of this is necessary. You could absolutely go to the Justice of the Peace, get married, and proceed with your married life. A wedding is an unnecessary but wonderful thing that you are investing a lot of money in. And so I have some clients that people are like, oh, wasn't it a red flag that they were asking loads of questions at the consultation, just tons of questions. I'm like, I don't know. It doesn't bother me, because I understand they've never done this before. Even though they can look at my work, I've done 400 plus events. I've done mostly weddings, every culture, everything you can imagine. I've never executed an event for them. And yeah. I always remind myself of that, like, never to get to the point of being super arrogant about this and being like, well, you should just trust everything I say. Like, it'll frustrate me sometimes when I work for them a while and they're still kind of questioning. But at the end of the day, and this is like a one-time thing with weddings, it's you'll most likely just do one wedding for this person. Hopefully you'll get referrals and whatnot. But I think people appreciate that about me, that I'm patient. I really listen. I think these are the things that kind of seal the deal for me in a consultation. I don't have a preconceived idea of how things should be. I really want to make it the day that they want. I'm very accepting of whatever their ideas are. And, you know, I'll let them know for sure. I'm definitely, at the same time though, I'm not a yes ma'am person.
You're not going to overpromise.
No. And that people have really liked my very straightforward approach. I'm a very honest, blunt at times person. That can be very off-putting to people, but I feel like most of the clients that connect with me want somebody that is going to be straight with them and be honest. There are definitely clients I haven't connected with well in the past, and a lot of times they are wanting somebody that is just going to be their best friend and tell them everything that they do is wonderful and never question any idea and never push back on anything. I'm not really the right fit for those people.
This is what we're talking about with it being like, personality does matter. Like, for me, and you didn't mention this, and it's not even on our outline, but I moving to Texas was an eye opener for me in many ways, but the weddings were very different. I found myself like, I didn't know like who my people were within the industry and also with the finding business. But one thing is it is difficult for me, and there's better planners than me at working with couples whose parents are extremely involved in the wedding planning. Mm-hmm. It's like a family affair. There's six people that are going to show up to tastings and meetings. The moms, groom's mom, bride's mom, two brides, both moms are very involved. That is hard for me. I work better, and everything is more successful in my business life when each project, because this is a project management job, has mm-hmm. a foreman or mm-hmm. one person, maybe two if it's the couple, that I am communicating with. That has led me to a certain demographic that I feel most comfortable in, which is slightly older couples mm-hmm. because they're not in college or fresh out of college and their parents are not bankrolling the whole thing or running the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And also in many ways fits into, you know, the passion I have for doing same sex or mm-hmm. LGBTQ weddings, because it's just often the case that the couple themselves are the ones doing all of the work. So for sure. me, if I got an inquiry, one of the not red flags, but things that I would check in about would be, you know, when you work with me, Christy Matthews Events, it's most successful if there is one person I'm in contact, there's one decision maker or two, mm-hmm. not a committee. And, you know, really, to be really frank, I find it very tricky to deal with parents' involvement mm-hmm. in planning weddings because it always ends up I get conflicting notes and different answers. And then it's like, well, who's paying me? Well, whose wedding is it? Right. Well, that's what my mom says, but I didn't want that. So take it off the list. And it's just not my wheelhouse. And I know there are planners in Dallas and probably in every big city that are great at doing that family planning thing. Mm-hmm. We all have our strong suits, and something that might lead clients to hire me or Michelle or Meredith might be a different reason each time, or why they go with a different planner.
Sure.
And
Go ahead.
Well, do you have like not a way to feel that out, but is there, I know you do weddings from all different cultures, and sometimes in different cultures, there's different family involvement. So do you just kind of roll with it? Like it's, you know, that's not that big of a deal.
I have had to learn to roll with it. It's definitely challenging. Most of my events, there is a parent involved through the whole process. And the longer you do this and the higher your budgets get on weddings, sometimes it's almost like a necessity because, you know, how many people in their early 20s, mid 30s could afford a $100,000 event? You know, I for sure couldn't when I was that age, you know. I mean, the harder thing for me has been making sure I have really tried to put my foot down, and it doesn't always happen. I try to put my foot down that, like, if it's the mom and the bride, let's use that as the most common example. The mom and the bride, I copied both of them on everything.
Really?
All the time. Yes. I have found that, like, everyone having that open, everybody communicating, everybody hearing my answers has been what has worked the best. Now, the problems, I have encountered many problems in this situation. Usually the common situation is them coming at me from either side. Like, mom will call me and want to talk to me about something that she doesn't want me to share with the bride, or bride does the same thing. And then exactly the situation you mentioned, it's, well, mom's paying, bride's wedding. I tend to default, like, in my heart, this is the couple's wedding and I want them to make the decision. At the same time, usually the name on the contract is the parent's name, and they're the person that is paying for not only me, but everything else.
That is a big difference between your sure. contract and mine then. I mean, and that's what we're trying to give all of you listeners, is that information of like, see, there's two different ways to do.
Right. And you have to determine what you're comfortable. Yeah. And I've put this issue, we have a group of wedding planners here in Dallas that have like an organization we're members of, and we have like a private Facebook group. And I've even put that question to them, like, how do you guys handle this situation? Because I've let go of clients before, not many times, but I have let go of weddings before, like I terminated the contract because in one instance, the mother would not allow the bride to have any say in anything and would not allow the bride to make any decisions or have any input. And I just was not okay with that at all. To be honest,
like, this is their life. This is their relationship, but you're a choice.
And I don't,
you have a choice to be out of that family.
Right. And I totally I understand and respect the financial commitment the parents are making. 100%. I understand it. And I don't mean to come at it just like from this cold perspective, but from a business owner's perspective, the clients, the couple, they are typically the ones that do the review afterwards, right? We submit a post-event review to clients. clients posting online, and I don't want to leave them out of it because, number one, I don't believe in leaving them out of it because it's their day. But number two, you don't want to like just always defer to the parents and then the client, you know, posts something on Wedding Wire. Well, they never listened to me in the first book. Well, I tried to. Your mom wouldn't let me, you know, that kind of a thing. So my general rule, and I have to be sometimes really strict about it, is that like, especially if there's tension among the family, is that every call, we're all on the call. Every email, I copy you on the email. And I do that, and there's instances where like I don't always involve the parents, but if the parents are involved from the get-go, then I always involve them. Yes. I never leave the bride or the couple, whoever it is. I never leave them out of it, even when the parents want me to. But yeah, as for the listeners, this is important because although you may be saying like, well, it's my day and I don't want my parents to have any say, if they're paying for it, they may want to have a say. And there are planners that are, you know, the contract says one person is the final decision maker. You have to decide who that is. And you may like that. That may give you the edge that you need to put your foot down. But you may
my contract does say that.
Sure. And you're not the only person that has that in their contract.
It's because I have PTSD from working with the most terrifyingly terrible, you know, mom at some point.
I have definitely had bad situations like that too. The times I have terminated my contract, and they have been few and far between, has always been this situation. Always.
Bonkers.
Yeah. So
to the listeners, you kind of have to know yourself, know your own, know the situation before you bring a planner in or kind of interview a couple different planners. Like, this is what you're coming into. This is our family. This is how it works. Be upfront about that because you want a planner that can mesh into that. And like Meredith, like you said, being kind of a chameleon personality wise and also like family dynamic wise, what you do with one client isn't what you do with another.
Right.
So you want somebody who fits that.
Right. And you have to understand too, you don't have to, as couples out there that are listening, you do not have to 100% care about this day. There are many situations. I want you to care about it. Most of us, all planners, want you to be super involved in it. But I definitely have couples that are just like, you know, we want to have, if it was up to us, we'd go to a beach and get married there. But our parents want us to have this big day. And so we're just going to go along with it. And we appreciate the fact that they're throwing us this great party. And that's awesome. Like, that's so great that they'll do that. So when you're picking a planner, you know, figure out who's going to be the most involved in this process and how will the planner relate to them. I definitely know, you know, I know a whole slew of planners. I'm 40, so I'm right in the middle of everybody's age at this point. But there's a lot of planners that are in their early 20s. I was 28 when I started, and I know some planners that are in their 60s, and they always will talk about how they relate so well to the parents now. Well, of course they do, because they're the same age, you know? And maybe that's the priority. Maybe you're like, I just really want someone that's going to take care of my mom through this whole process, because I'm happy with whatever. Or maybe you want somebody that's like, no, I want somebody like Meredith that's going to stand up to mom, you know, and maybe not tell her. And I'm never rude about it, but you know, that's always not even stand up. That's the wrong term.
Draw
that's
the like line. Though.
Always going to include me. That's never going to just defer to mom and go with her ideas because I don't believe in it. Even if I don't agree with the bride's perspective, I always like my answer is always like, these are the reasons why I don't think we should do it this way. And I'm going to explain it to you. But it's never like, well, I'm just going to talk to your mom about it. Like, no good comes out of that situation. And at the end of the day, it is most important to me for the bride to be happy. I'll give you a little story as an example. I had a couple many years ago now, actually, bride's parents were divorced. Bride had a great relationship with her dad. Mom and dad did not have a good, were not friends anymore, you know, and there was also a stepdad involved that was been in the bride's life. Well, bride wanted to walk down the aisle, and she's walking down with both dad and stepdad. And the mom was like, they just need to give her away. Nobody hugs her at all. Like, so she's not showing favoritism or anything.
What?
I know. And this is how it's going to go. This is like right before the ceremony. And I just said to her, okay, you know, I understand. So I went to the bride and I said, look, I just want you to know, like, this is what your mom just said, but it's your day, babe. You know, if you want to hug your dad and you want to hug your stepdad too, you do that. You know what I mean? Like, don't let something like that take away this moment from you. So I don't often go behind backs in those situations. But when I see something like that, where like, because there are many situations where a person is just bringing their own bitterness or life's pain and putting it onto the couple. And yes. I really try to protect them from that. If she wants to hug her dad and her stepdad or just one of them, like, that's her decision to make in that moment. You know, that's, come on. So I just basically told the mom, okay, I'll let her know. And I did. I said, but you know what? You do what you want to do. When you get down the aisle, you do what you're comfortable with, you know?
So I think there's, we talked about budget, availability and budget, those being very basic. And then this idea of like come to the table if you're going to, you know, check into or look into a couple different planners, come to the table with be realistic about your own, you know, family dynamics, who's paying, who needs to be part of this planning process and what, and also know what you want out of it. And you've touched on this a couple times. If you want somebody that is like a planner that will hold your hand and answer your, you know, emails, even if you email her 100 questions in 100 different emails, you know, she's going to write back every single one because you asked this in the inquiry. Or do you want somebody who gives you deadlines and says, by the end of September, call me, we're going to set up a meeting, you better have these 5 things done,
right,
and keeps things moving. We are human wedding planners, shocking, but we have different ways that we work with our clients.
And we have different packages too. I mean, that's something to consider. We have
different ways of customizing.
Right. We have a full service package, a partial planning package, and a day of package. And so, and a lot of different planners have different packages. So you really have to decide how much involvement you want, you know, what everybody's plans look different. Every planner has a different strategy and different packages. So you have to know, like, how involved do you want them to be? I mean, what I always say, my partial planning package is like my middle package, super popular. I love it actually. And, you know, one of the things that I say is my partial planning brides tend to be brides that would love to have a planner, but it's not, would love to have a full service planner, but it's not in the budget. Or just don't like the idea of a planner like going to every meeting with them and handling every single thing for them. They like kind of want more guidance.
They know they're going to be very involved.
So. Right. And they just were like, I'd just rather do it and then have you obviously oversee things that day. So it's important for you to know how much involvement you want. And you may not know that going into the meeting, but you should be able to determine that while you're meeting with the planner that you're considering hiring. That's very important for sure. And then overall, like, do you feel whatever ideas you may have, whatever, and this kind of goes back to the email you're going to refer to, Christy, but like whatever ideas you might have for the wedding, whether they be design ideas or you want to involve your dog or like whatever it might be, like, how do they respond to this? Like, is it an immediate no, or is it immediate? Like, and if it is an immediate no, why, you know, why won't this work? Or are they willing to be accepting of, not everyone has off the wall ideas. Most people don't, honestly.
But making you feel comfortable. Also.
That's so important. Yeah. Like, hands down, when you're picking a planner, it's got to be price, availability, all those things. Obviously, they're going to factor into every single vendor you go with. But like, do you feel comfortable with this person? Do you feel comfortable and confident? Those are probably the two top adjectives I would use. Do you feel confident this person could do a good job? Do you feel confident they're going to be able to take care of you in the time you have allotted? That's important too. And I will say, here's one thing that's very different for me, and I'm sure is probably used as a strategy to sell against me if somebody is, you know, competing against me. We do a lot of events in a year. We do a lot more weddings than a lot of other planners. I feel very strongly that it is very possible to do quantity and quality at the same time. And I feel that is what we do.
Well, that's you have figured out that that's your bandwidth.
Right. And that's fine for me. But not everybody has that perspective. And even if somebody doesn't feel they can do a lot of quantity, that doesn't mean that they're a bad planner. But you have to see there's
planners. It might not be as important for them to make a certain amount of money in a year.
Right. And that has been very important for me with my family also. Let me say, I'm definitely a huge contributor to our financial resources. But beyond that, you know, there are people I'm sure that can make the argument that there's no way a planner that does 30 weddings a year could devote the attention to your event that someone that does 10 events a year could. You know, I could argue with that. And, you know, but a lot of people might have that perspective.
Yes.
And at the same time, so you need to see how you feel comfortable. I'm sure I've lost clients that are like, I know you're saying you can do these events, but I just don't believe that you can actually like be devoted to all 30 of these clients in a year. I can talk about it all day long about how I do it, but you may not believe.
Perspective is everything. If somebody has the idea that like, well, she's doing too many weddings and I want her to be just mine for the entire month
exactly.
of October.
Right.
Maybe there is a planner that will say, oh, I only take one a month.
There's plenty that way. And if that's what makes you feel more comfortable, I totally get it. On the other hand too, from even before I talk to anybody, I do all different types of events. If you go to my website, it's weddings. There's the whole homepage. There's four sections, weddings, corporate, social, and charitable. And you can click on the event type that you're looking for. I guarantee there are brides that never, ever contact us because they look on my website and they're like, oh, well, no way. I only want somebody that just specializes in weddings.
And who, when she's off, is rolling around in rose petals and looking at Martha Stewart magazines.
Right.
And that's her whole life, because if I were a wedding planner, that's what I would be doing.
Right. And for many years I considered maybe just having a separate weddings website, but it just became too much work to even think about managing that. So you have to decide what you're comfortable with and what you feel when you talk with them. You feel comfortable with their capabilities and their time that they're giving you and they're able to give you.
It's comfortable, confident. And then another one to follow on that pattern is communication, like their communication style. Mm-hmm. These are questions you can ask.
Yes.
When, you know, do you say within 72 hours, I'll answer emails? As it gets closer to the wedding, do we have more contact?
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay if I text you?
Yes. Because, these are important questions.
Yeah. If you're doing 20 weddings in a year, then spread that out throughout the year. If I'm getting text messages from everybody whose wedding is next, you know, they, in their mind, my wedding must be next, but we have, it's just not case. Some planners are totally okay with text messaging. Some will say, well, absolutely not. I need it all in an email. And there's reasons for that. So I have a full record of every discussion that we've had.
Right.
So I'm going to read this email now, because I think was rereading it and I'm doubting myself. Maybe we should have read it at the top, but I think we answered most of the questions that she had. And so this was from one of our listeners.
Hi, this is Abby. And I've been listening to your podcast for about 2 years now, before I was even engaged. And I want to thank you guys, first of all, for the valuable information and for all your consistent releases. But I do have a question about finding a wedding planner. My fiancé and I have been together for 10 years and live in New York, but I am originally from Boston. I have a larger family than my fiancé, so we'll be having the wedding in Massachusetts. Because of this, I'm set on having a wedding planner who will help us with most of it since we can't be there. My problem is that I'm afraid of planners scoffing either at our modest budget, which hasn't been set yet, but is probably going to be less than $20,000, or the fact that we want to incorporate Japanese animation or anime into our wedding. It is how my fiancé and I met, so it only seems right to have it be part of our special day. It wouldn't be overpowering, like having us dress up as characters, but just enough to say, this is part of who we are, and this is what brought us together. But whenever I browse Wedding Wire or the Knot, most planners look like they only do fancy floral or rustic designs. I'm afraid we won't be able to find a planner that I won't feel self-conscious with. I was teased a lot growing up for liking quote-unquote cartoons, so I often hide that I'm an anime fan if I think it will affect people's perception of me. And there was also a planner that I had dreamed of working with for almost 2 years who I had felt was within our means and wouldn't be put off by our love for anime. But when I finally emailed her recently just to see how much she would need in order to get started, she not only said she wasn't taking new clients, but wished me good luck, especially with a low budget. Quote, start entering those contests now. I was crushed and have felt deflated ever since. We plan on getting married on March 3rd, 2021. Which is a Wednesday, hopefully netting us a couple discounts and a lower RSVP. A simple Elks Lodge or small hall would be enough for us for the reception, which would be under 100 people. We won't be serving alcohol aside from champagne for toasts. I mean, I feel we can still have a wedding, which is true to us, without having to sell our kidneys. But now I'm hesitant to contact anyone, even if they appear to fit our budget because of what happened before. The fear of being rejected due to wanting an anime-accented wedding only adds to that. So the teal deer is, how do I find a planner who I can feel confident respects our geeky and offbeat ideas and won't look at me like I'm crazy or ghost me if I ask her to find us an Iron Maiden for our engagement shoot? It makes sense in context of the show, I swear. Are there better resources than Wedding Wire for finding planners? Am I doomed because I don't have a $40,000 budget? Help! Thank you guys for having this great podcast again, and I'm really looking forward to your answer. Thanks a lot. Bye.
So I did write her back, but I wanted to do this episode to say that, like, yes, you should absolutely be able to find a planner that can work with all, like, that takes all of your puzzle pieces and says, I can do this job. I mean, you have to have the money to pay this planner. Sounds like you probably didn't for that first one you reached out to, which goes back to maybe expectations about pricing mm-hmm. that are off. But it was not okay that she, like, shamed you about it.
No, that and makes me sad. Like, that letter is, like, really sad.
Like, who is this? Like,
right.
These are the planners that give us a bad name because mm-hmm. all you had to say was, my date's not available. Right. Not good luck. You better start entering those contests. Like Meredith said, a wedding is extra. You can go to a city hall and you can just get married. Mm-hmm. A wedding should be a party that if you want it to be an expression of you two and your love, that's what it should be. And if you have enough money for a planner, they should help you achieve that, mm-hmm. not try to convince you that that's a crappy idea and what you need are, you know, white orchids and greenery runners because yes. that's what everyone's doing and that's what we can do for your budget. And just trust me, you're going to love it.
Mm-hmm. So
it just made me crazy that somebody was like, oh, this is not, you're not going to be able to have this wedding.
Yeah, I definitely I feel really bad for that bride. I mean, that's just the answer that she got is so disrespectful and rude. I mean, we get inquiries all the time, people, smaller budgets than what we can afford or what we offer. And, you know, I always just say, well, best wishes. If I know somebody that's less expensive, I try to refer them. There's so many different ways that could have been handled. You know, I think if you, you know, a really great way as far as finding a planner, obviously for me, the majority, I have a mix of where my business comes from. A ton of it comes from online searches. I try to have really strong SEO, you know, links for my social media as well. But a lot of it, at least half of my business comes from vendor referrals and other client referrals. So it's really great to ask your other friends who have already had weddings, ask other vendors if you hired other vendors before you hire your planner, which I don't recommend doing it that way, but
sometimes it happens.
Yeah. Oh yeah. All the time. We constantly get, I just did a meeting this morning with a mom of the bride that was referred to me by a caterer. So I get referrals all the time from vendors. And so you can ask any vendors you're already working with. You can ask to see preferred vendors list. Those things are super helpful.
Mm-hmm. Reading and vendors on, kind of know what other vendors'
yes.
budget, right. you know,
right.
budgets are generally.
For sure. And so, you know, asking around is super important and super helpful. Reading those reviews and all that is really helpful as well. Yes, you should look at their work on their websites, on their social media, and see if you have, for example, a quirky idea. You know, look, if you have a pretty standard design that you want for your wedding, pretty overall traditional, you know, you're going to have a ton of people to choose from.
Anyone can do that. Yeah.
Right. If you want something kind of quirky, kind of off the wall, look at their work. That's important. Look online and see, am I seeing anything that looks a little different? Am I seeing anything that looks a little unique? You know, don't ever hire somebody though that is going to make you feel bad for one of your ideas. I had a wedding race last year. I'll just tell you, this is a great example. And the couple, speaking of anime, the groom, he worked for an anime company actually too, spent a lot of time in Japan. And while in Japan, he got to know one of the most famous Japanese Elvis impersonators in all of the world.
As you do.
Yes, of course. Why not? And he wanted to fly this guy from Japan to perform at the wedding. So funny. I mean, and they didn't have a big budget. I mean, this to me would have been like, for sure we should cut this because it was
cost prohibitive.
They flew him from Tokyo and put him up and everything, but it was so important to them. I think that's very important for any planner that you're meeting with to ask you what your priorities are and to not ignore that. You know, even if they're different.
Figure out how to make it work. Right. If it's at all possible.
Yes. Right. And if that's, and if you're important, if your priorities are something different than the norm, that's okay. They're still your priorities. It's still your money you're spending on this. So in this Japanese Elvis wedding, we flew him. He flew from Tokyo. And my biggest advice for that was they originally wanted him to perform at the reception for like 90 minutes to 2 hours. And so my guidance was, like, I think it's super fun we're doing this. First of all, we need to explain to everybody that doesn't understand who this guy is, why he's here. So we made sure there was like a little intro announcement. And I think 90 minutes is probably a little too long because what's going to happen is the majority of your guests aren't super interested in Elvis performing and they're going to lose interest. And that actually might hurt your feelings. And Elvis's as well, because people aren't into this because they're not at a karaoke bar or at a Vegas presentation right now. You know what I mean?
But they were probably thinking, but we're flying them all the way here. Right. We have to get our money's worth. So we came up with
a different plan. Yeah. So what we did was he performed. We had him perform during dinner and a little bit during dancing. He walked around and took pictures with people, which people absolutely loved, as you can imagine. And then that was a suggestion of mine. And another suggestion was to have him drive the getaway car. And it was hilarious. Like,
and they, more photo ops, which more bang for your buck.
Yes. So they loved those ideas because exactly like you said, Christy, their thought was, well, we're flying him here and make the most of it. But there were so many ways to make the most of it without destroying this idea and still incorporating him. So that was definitely an idea that jumps in my mind. But I was never like, for sure, I'll be straight with you. When they said Japanese Elvis impersonator, the guy didn't even speak English. I was like, and this was not a Japanese couple. I was like, okay. I mean, in my head, I was like, that's a little different, but I was, you know, I talked to them like, why is this important to you? And once they told me, we had to do it because it was so important to them. Finding somebody that's going to have that reaction to you. It's, don't feel bad if they question a little bit because they want to make sure it's going to work.
We're not magicians. We can't just like make something happen, but they will fit it. They'll figure out a good planner. Yes, a way to fit it in. These are all puzzle pieces.
So. And there's so many ways, like for this couple with the anime, there's so many ways to work that in. Anime cake topper of the bride and groom.
Yeah.
Anime,
Something on signage. Menu.
The music even. Even like a fun like anime video of the couple to like before their grand entrance. Like there's so many ways to work that in that are cool. And I will tell you, the longer I do this, you know, I post pictures every week of flowers and, you know, beautiful cakes and people love that stuff. But what I've noticed is the more particular, peculiar things people are really like, especially people that have been following me now for 12 years, like they love seeing my stuff, but it's like, cool. How many like white orchid centerpieces can we see? You know, how many cakes with ruffled ruching and stuff on the side? Like it's pretty, but you've done it. But to show different things that we do and to explain why that we do that, I have found that has really been resonating with people. So I think you should never be ashamed to ask for those things. And if you have a planner that has an immediate adverse reaction, this is definitely not someone to work with. Don't feel bad if they ask some questions. They want to understand why it's important to you and how it can be worked in.
But you shouldn't feel judged.
No,
there shouldn't be judgment.
Yeah.
We're just trying to get it figured out.
Right. And I will say too, just a little kind of like pro tip on this also. I've been doing this a very long time. So I will say, you know, I have clients that'll meet with me sometimes and they're like, I really want to work with you, but you know, I know my wedding's not going to be one of your bigger budget ones and you probably won't want to put it on your website. And I'm like, you know what? And this is 100% truth. And I feel so grateful that I feel this way now. I say to them, I don't care if it ends up on my website or not. And I mean that sincerely. I want to work with the people who want to work with me. And I have so much work at this point, which is such a blessing. I'm so thankful for it, that it's okay if I can't put in an event on my website because I do have a lot of others. So one thing you may consider is if you're talking to a planner that's very new, they may be, I'm not saying they're not good, but they may be really trying to build their portfolio. And people who are really trying to build their portfolio sometimes get a little worried to devote a Saturday to a bride that, or a couple, you know, that has all rustic, real, you know, real very low budget for whatever it might be, or just out of the aesthetic this planner is trying to build their business into. And sometimes they're a little averse to it. I understand. When I first started my business, that was definitely in the back of my mind more than it is now. So sometimes it's better to find somebody that's been in the game for a really long time.
Right. Because experience matters too.
Because they not only may have a variety of people on their team that might be a great fit for you. I know several planners that like figure out your personality and then see who you'd work best with. But also, it's not going to end their world if you do an all anime wedding and they're like, I just don't want to put that out there. And that's okay, you know, as long as the client's okay with it too. So sometimes really seeing like, what stage is this planner in their business? Do they really seem like they're really still trying to build their portfolio? You know, but on the other hand, somebody trying to do that may love the idea of having something diverse. You just really won't know until you talk to them. But regardless, anyone that comes at you with like this comment about entering contest, or, you know, we have people all the time that talk to us that don't really have the budget that they need. And I just try to be extremely frank with them about like, this is what the average wedding costs in this market. I just want you to understand that. So is there a chance you could reduce your guest count, or where are the areas you're willing to reduce costs? I never am like, well, there's no way you could do that. You know, like having that attitude is just, it's disrespectful. You know, they just don't, they don't know a lot of times what it's going to cost, and coming at it like, it's just, I have no doubt that this bride's wind is completely out of her sails, because she was made to feel like, not only do you not have enough money, you know, your ideas are also stupid. And neither of those are true. I'm sure there's a planner she could find in her budget, you know, and that's going to really appreciate her. That's what you want. You want somebody that's thankful for that business and that's going to work hard for you wherever you are. And don't be afraid to bring in someone from another market. Truly. If you're in a small town, you may not have a lot of planners to choose from. You know, there may be like two planners in your whole town. Most of us are very willing to travel, and most of us only need reimbursement for the travel fees. You know, they're not asking for some exorbitant fee. So if you're 4 hours from a major city and you have two planners in your town to choose from, don't hesitate to reach out to people from another close market where you have more choices and just ask them to travel. Tons of us will do that. I mean, Christy's whole life is that right now.
Yeah. I haven't done a single wedding in Arizona.
But yes. you don't feel like you're stuck. This is not something you should settle for. So if you feel like there's three planners in all of this town that I live in and all of them do the same wedding, find a planner somewhere else. It's really okay. Fly them in. You will be so grateful that you did that, rather than just settling for somebody because they were local to you, you know?
Yeah. Very good, Meredith. We're going to wrap it up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Throw out your social media. And if I get questions that I think we should softball to you, I will. So if any listeners have questions, just email me. But this is where you can find Meredith and her company.
Right. So my website is significanteventsoftexas.com. That's a very long title, I know. Significanteventsoftexas.com. And there's a contact page there that has our email. I mean, I have, you know, social media on every single channel, but probably the best one I would say is Instagram. And my Instagram is also significanteventsoftexas. That's really probably your best places to start. My website, though, at the bottom has links to every other social media account that we have. So if you visit one of those, you know, happy to answer any questions. Happy to, you know, I really do love teaching about this industry and about events to colleagues and to couples planning weddings. So if you ever have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out. And, you know, if you're ever looking for someone, not even in Dallas, I speak all around the country and I could probably even refer you to somebody in another city. So happy to help. Thank you, Christy. Great.
Thank you, Meredith. You're so great. And thank you for always being responsive when I text you random things like, I need a string quartet that I've never worked with before. So you're always there with an answer and I appreciate it. So please subscribe on iTunes, rate and review us. It helps so much. Instagram at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. Our website is thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com and email is thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to contribute or help support this podcast, that's Patreon, patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. There are perks there and that helps us keep this going. Also, Michelle and I both offer consulting. We can talk about that if you email. And we have a phone number if you want to call and leave us a voice message, 415-723-1625. You'll hear your voice on an upcoming You Ask, We Answer episode. That is it. Thank you again, Meredith. And thank you, everyone. And I will talk to you next week. Bye.